You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation, brought to you by Go Wild. Now, what is Go Wild? Go Wild is the fastest growing and most active app for hunters, anglers, and outdoorsmen. So what do? You log time, you earn points, and you get bragging rights. Now, Go Wild isn't about really your follower count, like a lot of people try to do in some of the other social media apps. However, it allows you to earn points, and over time, the app will be adding functionality to reward users for their time outside. So go sign up and start logging your points today. They're giving giveaways away weekly. You can win anything from $500 coolers to $150 in fishing tackle to optics to hammocks to broadheads to fly rods and tons of other great stuff that they're giving away. All you have to do is sign up and start using the app. And unlike a majority of the other social media apps, you know, aka Instagram, aka Facebook, Go Wild supports hunting. They even donate some of their revenue back into conservation groups. So they're not going to tell you, hey, you can't post pictures of your guns. They're not going to tell you, hey, you got to walk lightly around trophy picks. This platform supports the lifestyle that we choose for hunters and anglers. So sign up for Go Wild today. And all you have to do for more information is visit timetogowild.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Rookies in the Backcountry podcast. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes here before we get this show started to go over some stuff that information that I'm trying to get put out to you guys. First thing is, I wanted to remind everybody to send me in your hunting stories after the season is over or after you're done with your hunt. And however you want to send that to me, you can send it to me through Instagram direct message. You can send it to me through email at jcr@backcountryrookies.com, or you can submit it through the website, which is backcountryrookies.com. Get it over to me. Toward the end, I'm going to start selecting some of my favorite hunting stories, and ultimately, I'm going to select my favorite archery hunt and favorite rifle hunt, and then invite those two hunters to come onto the podcast so we can hear that story. I'm starting to kind of beef up the promotion a little bit, just to make it a little bit sweeter for you guys. So as of right now, I've got the two hunters that are selected will get a 1 month Mountain Hunter box, and then you'll get a 1 year premium subscription to Onyx Maps, and they will also get a $250 gift card to the Go Hunt store. And if you're not familiar with any of those things, go and check them out. Of course, Mountain Hunter box is a monthly subscription box, and they send out really good products. They're usually kind of a themed box. So, for example, the one I most recently received was an archery theme box, and it had a lot of really good archery products in it. Derek over there, he tries to keep it that way so that it's not just a bunch of random stuff that you get that's not really useful. Derek keeps it themed, like I said, so that it's when you get something, it's all going to be about a certain type of product. One of my favorite ones that I received was I call it the breakfast box, and it came with a box of Black Rifle coffee, had an MSR pocket rocket in it, had a morning breakfast bar, and some Zippo Strike Anywhere matches. And I just thought that was a really perfect combination so that, you know, you could wake up, fire up the pocket rocket, make yourself a cup of coffee in the morning. So anyway, check out Mountain Hunter Box. If you don't know what Go Hunt is by now, I don't know where you've been hiding. Go and check out Go Hunt. Check out their insider program. Definitely check out their store. Tons of great products. And the guys over at Go Hunt, they don't just throw any product up on their website. Everything that they put on there is high quality products. And you'll get $250 to use for toward the Go Hunt store. So that's cool. Also, Onyx Maps. Again, if you don't know who Onyx is, I don't know where you've been. Get out there and check out Onyx. Super cool. You'll get a one-year premium membership to Onyx. So pretty good value so far. I've got a couple other things that I'm working on to get thrown in there in that package for those two winners. So start thinking about those stories and make sure that you're writing them down or taking notes while you're out hunting. And let's see. By the time you guys start listening to this, myself and my hunting partner, Neil, who's actually the guest on the show today, right? We're going to be out in the backcountry doing our first backcountry elk hunt. So wish us the best of luck. We're actually driving out to Colorado. Both of us are coming from different parts of the United States, and we're going to link up out in our unit where we're hunting at. And then from there, we're going to head out to the woods. And then luckily here toward, as we were getting closer to the hunt, we picked up a third hunter who has a year or two of experience out there also. So it's going to be cool to hook up with, and we'll have a third hunter. Hopefully after the end of the hunt, we're at least somewhat successful. I know we're going to be successful in the way of just taking some of that knowledge out of the backcountry for next year, but hopefully we get a critter on the ground and we're able to talk about that. We're going to do a roll-up show where myself and Neil and Gus all come together after the hunt, and then we're going to just kind of do a review of the hunt and talk about it, you know, just sit down and talk about the good times that we had and the lessons that we learned out there. So with that all being said, make sure you jump on Facebook and check out the Backcountry Rookies group page. Pretty good page on there that we've built, and got a couple hundred members in it right now. A lot of good conversations, a lot of good topics come up on that group page. If you don't want to be part of the group page, which is a private page, check out the Backcountry Rookies. That's an open page that you can join. And then, of course, check out Instagram, which is at Backcountry Rookies. So get on there, check that stuff out. Thanks. Sorry to take up 5 or 6 minutes of your time, but I really wanted to get that hunting story information out there. Starting to be a really cool promotion. It's really good. And I really appreciate everybody who's supporting it up to this point. So, all right, guys, get ready to sit down and listen to myself and Neil just kind of BS a little bit about expectations and anxieties and a little bit of gear talk. So, thanks. Welcome back to the Rookies in the Backcountry podcast. Today is a pretty special show. A lot of you guys have heard me talk about him throughout the other shows, and you know, he's at least been mentioned in just about every show that I've done so far. But today I've got Neil Burge on. Neil is my hunting partner for this Colorado backcountry elk trip that we're going to do. Neil and I have known each other for a long time, probably, what, Neil, 20, 22, 3 years now, something like that?
Yeah, probably 90. 98, 97.
Yeah, way back. So yeah. Neil and I used to work together before I joined the Army, and some of you guys might know I've been in the Army for a long minute. So way back when, Neil and I were roommates, and oddly enough, I don't. Were you hunting back then? I don't remember you ever hunting, really.
No, not really. You know, I was doing my own thing.
Yeah. I remember.
Single man life.
Yeah, I mean, you always had guns and stuff around. I remember an AR-15 and some stuff, but never really remembered you talking about hunting. So it was kind of interesting. I had went home from the military one weekend or one Christmas or something like that, and somehow we reconnected while I was at home, and he started sending me pictures of deer, and I'm sending him pictures of deer and buffalo and all kinds of random things. So it was pretty cool to be able to reconnect over hunting, of course, and then that kind of evolved, and we'll talk about this more throughout the show, but it kind of evolved into me calling Neil up and saying, hey man, what do you think about grabbing bows and going out to Colorado? And here we are. What are we, 10 days out from starting the drive? So
yeah,
everything's going good. So anyway, Neil, welcome to the show. I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of talk about where your hunting bug began, or your interest in hunting, and then sort of up until now, like what kind of drove you to the elk and kind of that desire for that big mountain hunt.
Okay, well, we lived way out in the middle of the country when I was a kid for several years, and my dad was an avid gun collector. So, I grew up around guns, and it was always around the house. But he was into bird dogs and game birds. So at a young age, I was hunting pheasant with him quite often. And he was pretty successful at it. After that, as far as hunting, I did squirrel hunt. Things younger kids do on their own. As far as
getting your first 22 long rifle and
exactly,
cruising, cruising around in the woods, and
it was a Marlin bolt action 22, and it was a magazine fed. I remember this gun. I remember when my dad bought it for me, and I thought I was top notch right there. But
was that one of the ones with the magazine, the tube magazine underneath the barrel?
No, it was an actual magazine. A clip, whatever the proper term is nowadays.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and that was my first foray into a hunting rifle, if you can call it that. But then I really got into got my first bow because I was just fascinated with archery. I thought it was just the coolest thing. And
when was that? When did you get your first bow?
I was probably 9-10 years old.
Okay, so younger kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it was just the Indian red fiberglass bow, and man, I thought I am Robin Hood. Had the hay bales out behind the house there and sticking them in there, and really thought I was something else, and I got actually pretty decent with it. And a buddy of mine sold me a Ben Pearson wooden recurve, and it was, I might have been about 12 years old at this point, 40 pounds, and let me tell you what, that was all I could do to pull 40 pounds on a recurve, man. That thing was, woo.
I'd be lucky to pull 40 pounds on a recurve right now, I think.
Right, man, it was a struggle, but, it was a muscle memory thing. Once I got used to it, it was zipping them old aluminum arrows downrange, man. But honestly, I didn't actually start deer hunting until I was probably 15, 16, and we had no idea what we were doing, just me and a couple buddies, and that was, tree stands weren't even really heard of. It was a homemade thing really back then, and a lot of times I remember just finding a tree with a low enough branch where I could actually climb up and sit on a limb, which is completely unsafe, but we did it anyways. The few years I did bow hunt in high school, I had one shot at a deer. Heck, I think it might have been the only time I've ever seen a deer. and I missed. So, yeah,
That's, you call those lessons learned, not misses.
Exactly. After high school, I joined the Air Force.
I won't hold that against you.
I know. I've heard it all. And really didn't even get into anything. I was stationed in Florida, so I was having fun, man. I was not worried about hunting anything. Wasn't even fishing nothing. I didn't even care about that kind of stuff then. So once I did get out of my enlistment there, moved back home to Indiana. Didn't actually start getting into hunting again. I quit racing dirt bikes and four wheelers, and thought, well, I need to, I gotta have a hobby. I have to. That's just drive me nuts if I can't stay sedane. So I got back into bows, and man, it just really took off from there. I think this was 07-08. Still didn't have a real good idea what I was doing, but in 09, I killed my first deer with a bow. And it was, I know it was the time change weekend. which is just still ridiculous. But of course, I'm driving out to the property, and the sun's already coming up, and I'm thinking, man, I'm done. I'm ruined it. So I'm walking out. You know, it's daylight. I get out to the stand, and everything's going wrong. I drop my release. I drop my corn checks. Yeah, I'm just upset, man. And
well, you don't have corn checks. What are you supposed to do now?
Exactly. So I remember I got everything, and I settled down. I just kind of closed my eyes, and I'm relaxed, and I'm like, all right, calm down. It'll all be good. I opened my eyes, and I kind of looked to my right, and I seen this buck. The corn was still up at this time. It was just a small, 10-yard lane between that and the tree line. And here he come, and he's just walking along. I think I might have had some kind of scent wick out with the doe spray on there or whatever. He's got his nose up in the air, and he's smelling this thing. And I get ready. He comes dead broadside, 15 yards. And I shot him. And he just stood there. He kind of twitched. And I thought, there's no way I missed this deer. He put his nose up in the air, man. He took a deep breath. He took off. I thought, what the heck is going on? I watched him. He run about 40 yards, man. He crashes. Does his death kick. And I'm thinking, did that really just happen? That was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got down immediately and went over and, first bow kill, 8-point. Nothing to brag about, per se, but I got it done. And then that hooked me right there, man. And ever since, it's just the archery addiction, the whitetail addiction. It's there. I mean, it's very strong. And, I'm trying to get my kids into it and really enjoy it. It's a big part of my life.
Yeah. You're kind of like me, if I'm not mistaken. You're not just a one bow and this bow is good for me for the next 10 years kind of a guy, are you?
Sometimes if a bow lasts 10 minutes,
yeah,
it's a miracle. No, unfortunately I found this site called Archery Talk, and that's when the bow addiction really began, because I seen real quick how bows lose value, and you can get into last year's top flagship model for half price. Then it began, and I've slowed down, but at one point I might have went through 20 to 25 a year, which is just ridiculous. But I had it worked out to where I was pretty much eating shipping, so if I could try out a new bow for $25. Hey, why not?
Yeah. Gives you a really good chance to try out everything. Different.
Oh yeah. And
different cams, different. Yeah. Everything. So
you just never know what works for you. I mean, people say, oh, you need to go and shoot every bow you can. Well, unfortunately, that's really not possible for a lot of people. I mean, good bow shops anymore are few and far between, and ones that carry multiple brands. Yeah, I mean, good luck.
Right. That's that way here. I live in San Antonio, which is a pretty good-sized city, and there's like a couple of good bow shops here, and they both carry the same thing. So it's pretty, if you want to try some of those outlying brands, it's not going to happen. You've got to buy it. You got to buy it and have it shipped to your house. You got to try it out. So.
Oh yeah.
So backing up a little bit, sorry that was a little bit of a tangent there, but
that's okay.
Backing up a little bit, when did that desire for to go out west? When did that start?
Well, I never really, I knew what elk were, obviously, but I never really thought much about it, man. And then I really, started watching some hunting shows, which I do not watch anymore. And I think the first time I heard that bugle, I was like, what was that?
Yeah.
That noise coming out of that gigantic animal. I thought, man, these are really cool. So, and 100% honest, this elk is my number one bucket list hunt on top of anything else.
Well, so let's hope we can knock one down this year.
That would be ideal. Yeah. But you know, and even just reading on internet forums about going out west, how much different it is, and I mean, of course, you know, the mountains are just incredible. Anyways, gorgeous. I have family that lives in Aurora, Colorado, and we've been out there, and it's just, oh my God, I mean, amazing. So, and then to be able to hunt in that state is just, hey, I mean, it really is, it's a dream come true. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm pumped, man. I'm really, really looking forward to this. It's going to be something else for sure.
I think so. I think it's going to be cool that you and I are able to reconnect and get out there and do that together too. Cause I can tell you what, man, 2 or 3 years ago, I never would have thought I'd be hunting elk with you. So,
right. And
then,
right.
Yeah. So that was really cool that we were able to reconnect and then sort of evolve and then put this thing together. Originally we were supposed to be doing a rifle hunt. And then that, when that kind of fell through, I thought, man, I know a dude that would love to go bow hunting. So I'm going to give him a call and put it together. So, when did we start planning this thing? Do you remember about what time?
It had to have been maybe October.
Of last year, right? Yeah, we've been working on it for a... Yeah, because I started really thinking about it, the elk hunt, in like August of last year. And I didn't really say much about it to anybody until around September. And then there was a bunch of scheduling and what season are we gonna hunt and all that stuff. So yeah, you're probably right. It was probably October. So we've had some time to get it all put together.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I mean, and for me on my end, once I really thought, man, elk is this is my top hit list animal. Talking to, you know, I've got several buddies that hunt, and throwing the idea out to them, they want to do it, but unfortunately for most of them, they don't have the time to take off to get it done. So that was a real hindrance in me being able to go out west, because you sure don't want to do it by yourself. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but for a guy that doesn't know what the heck he's doing, I mean, you know.
Yeah, that first
years are always a bonus.
First couple of years would be a little bit tough, I think, if you're running around by yourself. And then not only that, but I mean, I total respect to the guys that are solo hunting out there, but the just the pack out alone on an elk is a two-man job, if not three or four, if you got the people there. And if you're doing that by yourself, man, I just can't. If you're 5 miles in or something, I just can't imagine.
Right,
can't imagine
right.
having to do that. So I think a group is at least for the first few years for us, I think a group's going to be the way to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. I'm beyond excited. And I can't, you know, it's right around the corner. It's 10 days. So crazy.
Yeah. I know I'm excited. I think my wife's getting absolutely tired of me just prepping and planning, and I come home every day and I've got some new genius idea that I'm going to do. I started dehydrating my own meals to try to make things lighter and taste better. And so I've been dealing with that all weekend. And she's just like, I wish you'd go out and get this hunt done with. So, yeah, but she's been good, man. She's been putting up with it. So anyway, so is there anything, you got any like anxieties or anticipations or anything?
Of course.
Yeah. You're not totally calm and feel like you're totally ready?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, you got to, first time doing this, you know, I wouldn't say I'm scared. I'm nervous for sure, because, you know, like we've already talked about, we still don't have a plan etched out as far as, you know, I'm thinking, well, geez, man, okay. You know, wherever we park, where are we setting up camp, and all these ideas are going through my head. And,
yeah.
You know, it's crazy. A bit nervous. My fitness level. I've kept myself in reasonably good shape over the years. But you know, the altitude, that's a big factor, man. I mean,
it is a big factor, and we've talked about it before, but we're going to take it slow. I'm not in any hurry to get anywhere for sure. And I don't think you are. And if Gus ends up showing up, he's exactly the same way. So no, I don't think anybody's going to be trying to pound up the side of a mountain as fast as we possibly can. For me, it's just more about the experience and being out there. And, you know, I read things and I listen to other people's podcasts and, you know, I listen to a lot of stuff. And a lot of people say that those guys that are pounding up the mountain, or they're going in on horseback, or they're riding quiet cats or dirt bikes or something to get back, they end up missing a lot of stuff because they overlook it. They go right past it, and there may be a herd of elk that are standing a mile off the road, and they're trying to get 5 miles in thinking that's where they're going to be bedded up. So that was comforting to me to hear that, because I thought, well, good, then we'll just call taking it slow, we'll call it being thorough.
That's very, very good. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. So that we're going to go with that. But, and then as far as camping goes, we've done our little map recon. I've got a few different campsites, and if they don't work out, we're not going to ever be anywhere that's too just crazy far from the trucks where we can't just walk back if needed. Uh-huh. So I think, that shouldn't be a big deal. What about gear and everything? You think you're good on gear?
You know, I still have some stuff trickling in, but you know, my mind's always spinning around, and I will probably purchase a few more items, whether I need them or not.
Yeah.
Just today, I thought, you know what? I do not have any kind of rain gear. Maybe I just need like a cheap poncho or something.
Right.
So That's something else I probably should pick up.
For this year, I totally intend on upgrading over probably next year. It's going to be one of the things that I want to upgrade. But I went to Walmart and I bought a pair. It's a set of Frog Tog Ultralight. It's like $20 and it doesn't weigh very much. And I think if it starts pouring down rain, I don't really anticipate us trying to crash through the brush and get anywhere. If it starts raining, I plan on finding a tree, huddling up underneath that tree, and waiting until the rainstorm's gone. You know?
Sure, yeah.
So I'm just thinking a lightweight something. That Frog Tog stuff's not the most durable, and if it tears up when you get it caught on sticks and stuff, but
yeah.
I don't think we're going to be, who knows? I mean, I say I don't think we're going to be, but 10-day forecasts are still a bit, you know, we're still not quite to where we can see forecasts and stuff, and the mountains are crazy. But, yeah, I just got something light. I got an old army poncho around here somewhere, and I thought about just instead of taking a rain suit, taking that old lightweight poncho and then just throwing it up in the tree, or, you know, tying it up and making kind of a lean-to out of it if we needed to.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, then there again, that's just another pound in the pack that are we going to use it or are we not. So
yeah, right,
my rain gear is going to stay in the truck unless the weather forecast looks like it's going to get nasty. I'm just going to leave it in the truck. I think I see. Yeah, because my pack, okay. You know, my pack, and I think your pack too, is, I mean, it's not waterproof, but it's made of, you know, water's going to beat off of it, and
right, and yeah,
everything I've got is pretty much merino wool, so if that gets wet, it'll dry out pretty fast.
I hear you.
Just be uncomfortable for a little while, but so that was rain gear. But I'm kind of like you too. That's just always one of the things that you think, I don't really need rain gear, and in that time that you get stuck without it, and you're just absolutely miserable.
That guy at work, he goes, "You gonna bring some snowshoes?" I said, you know what? I mean, crazier things have happened, but I think I'll be okay without snowshoes.
Yeah, I think you'd be fine. Oh, that's funny. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in good shape, man. My boots are getting broken. That was a last minute kind of whoops thing that I did. The boots that I was wearing, you know the deal. I think I told you about them. They started causing me some really, really bad ankle problems. And I got that all fixed up, and I think they were just too short, and there just wasn't enough ankle support in them. Oh. So I went with those Salomon 4Ds. So now I got tons of ankle support, and they're really comfortable. Food, I'm really packed up. I've got all my little food bags packed up. I think we're in good shape, man. Or I'm in good shape. I'm sure. I don't care about you, man. I'm in good shape. Right. No, and then I've got the stuff that I had told you that I was that I had extra that I'm going to bring out. I've got it all set aside, and so that'll be coming out for you too. So you know, there's a few things you don't need to trickle in unless you really want them. But
I wear liner socks anyways when I hunt here in the Midwest. And I was looking, and they have merino wool liner socks. Well, you know, I might as well pair some merino wool liner socks with the rest of my merino wool.
There you go.
It only makes sense.
Yeah. All my socks are wool.
Yeah.
I like
it. Have you ever worn liner socks?
No, I haven't. So my buddy up in Idaho, Jeremy, who was on a couple shows ago, I think he wears liners with merino. Like two layers. He wears a liner and then a merino sock.
Right.
Yeah. No, I never have. It might really help blisters, though. I mean, it kind of takes away, gives something to rub. The two socks can rub together.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, I'm wearing my boots right now, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Excellent. Are you doing?
I'm going to be living in them for 5 straight days.
You doing laps up and down your stairs, too, while we're talking? Oh. No, you don't even sound winded. You're doing great.
Oh yeah.
So how about your bow? What bow equipment are you taking?
Okay. Once again, I think the last time we talked, I still had the Decree, PSC Decree.
Yeah. The HD. Did you have an HD?
HD, correct.
Yeah.
Well, I sold it.
Oops.
But. I think I told you I had the Expedition Eccentric, which is going to be my main bow anyway.
Yeah. Is that new? That Eccentric, or have you had that for a while?
No, I've already had a couple of them.
Okay.
So, no, I just got it a few months back, but I got the Eccentric, and I have a Explorer SS, which is a shorter axle-to-axle bow as well, but... So those will be my two rigs.
Nice. Very nice. How about arrows? What arrows you running?
That's funny you mention that, because I just cut the rest of my arrows this evening. We're shooting the Black Eagle Renegades. Micro diameter. Mm-hmm. They'll grain at about 500 grains.
Perfect.
Really like the micro diameter. I've shot a standard shaft for years, and then I decided to try the micro, and I like how Black Eagle's insert outsert works, because they taper it down to where it's flush with the shaft of the arrow instead of hanging over. Which, I mean, if you target shoot into a bag or whatever, it's just a pain in the butt with those things. They tend to get caught, but they did a really good job with that that system there. And it's a heavier insert to begin with.
Is that 50 or 58?
It's almost 60 grains, but it's 56, 58, something in that neighborhood. So, man. And so when I initially got the Renegades, I built 3, and I have been shooting them same 3 arrows since spring. And, I haven't had an issue. The only thing I did was I knocked an insert kind of half out of one. Unfortunately, I think that I lost a broadhead in my Reinhardt target last year.
Oops.
Yeah, and then I believe this arrow hit that broadhead. So, but other than that, I've had no issues. They fly great, super tough.
Yeah, and, that's what I'm shooting right now, too. I'm pretty happy with them. Pretty happy.
Yeah.
I actually today was out shooting, and I picked up a pack of 125 grain field tips, because I wanted to see if there was any increased accuracy. because I kind of was thinking that it was a little bit overspined for my bow, and I thought maybe add more weight up front would kind of bring it back down a little bit. I really didn't notice any difference between the 125s and the 100 grain tips, so I'm going to stick with what I got.
Just, sure.
Yeah, Renegades with 100 grain tips. And now broadheads I might change. Right now I'm shooting QAD Exodus, and they're pretty good. Things are bow tuning, you know, things are broadhead tuning decent. But I don't know. I may try something different. I might try a solid steel, like a G5 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
I've got a ton of broadheads, but I'm bringing the Magnus Sir Razors. Big Magnus fan, by the way. Huge. Best warranty in the business. Great heads. The Sir Razors and Wasp drones.
I like those. I like those drones too. And I like the what was the first one you said?
Magnus Sir
Razors. Yeah, I like those too. I like those drones. Last year I shot some of those and they were pretty tough. Pretty tough broadhead. Yeah.
Yes. I've been very impressed with I've had several kills with the drones, and man, they are. They're tough to beat. They fly amazing. So yeah.
And are those, are your bows tuned? Like, are you shooting the drones with one bow and then the others with the other?
No.
No, they just, everything shoots everything good?
Yep.
Yeah, good.
I mean, I'm not trying to brag on myself, but I'm quite the bow tuner. So.
Yeah.
I shoot 60 pounds, 30 inch draw. I always overspine my arrows. Always. And then I tune the bow to the arrow.
Yeah.
And never have a problem. I have never had a problem broadhead tuning a bow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. Mine's pretty close. I got some more work to do. But unfortunately, when I was down in Honduras, I couldn't take broadheads. So all I could do was shoot. You know, I was shooting pretty much once a week, and everything was going pretty good. But I wasn't ever – and I had bought those Renegades pretty much right before I went. So I didn't get to really broadhead tune before I left, and now here I am, you know, 10 days out, and I'm trying to play catch up, but shouldn't be a big deal. It's shooting good enough right now where I don't need to really worry about it. Everything's zeroed pretty dang close out to 50 yards, and I don't see us getting a shot more than 50 yards. And if we do, then I just won't shoot. You know, I'll pass whoever's shooter that day or whatever. We'll just have to rotate around or whatever, but
right.
Yeah, I'm not going to take one past 50. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to go back out again, maybe tomorrow. And I may try to push it back out to 70. That's where I was at before I deployed. So I was shooting pretty good at 70, but I lost a little bit of that. So anyway, well, all right, man, let's call it here and we will touch base. I mean, you and I'll stay in touch quite a bit over the next 10 days.
And absolutely.
And then of course road trips are coming up pretty soon. So
road trips.
Yep. Today I was on my way into work and I was cruising down the road and I had a diaphragm call in my mouth and had my bugle tube up, was blowing on my bugle tube. And I happened to look over in the car next to me and some lady's sitting there looking at me like, what is this? What are you doing over there? Yeah. And I'm sure there's no doubt in my mind. She had to be able to hear the bugles coming out of the car. Like, what is that guy got going on in that truck right there? So anyway, I plan on doing the same thing all the way from San Antonio to Colorado.
Good stuff.
I'm probably going to get some more funny looks, but
that's all right.
Yeah. I don't care. It's all for a good purpose. So anyway, yeah, man, we'll stay in touch. We'll wrap it up here. And after we get done with the hunt, you and I are going to come back together. And then if Gus gets to come and hunt with us, we'll all three come together and we'll just kind of roll up how the hunt went and kind of a day to day. How did it go? And, you know, just talk about it. We'll share the story. So
I think
it'll be a lot of fun to get that in there. So
awesome.
Cool. All right, Neil, thanks for coming on and chatting about what's coming up. And We will probably talk to you tomorrow or the day after that, I'm sure.
All right, brother.
All right, man. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that show. Thanks again to Neil for coming on, and wish us the best of luck coming up. We're going to be spending about 6 days out in the backcountry together, so I'm really looking forward to it. Can't wait to link back up with Neil and get together with the third guy and just get out there and enjoy this hunt. The next show we have coming up is with Dan Solzman. And if you haven't heard of Dan, get out and check him out. He's on Instagram, at Dan Solzman. Lots of great pictures on there. And Dan is an absolute elk killer. So it's going to be really good to have him on here. We're going to talk about some strategy. We're going to talk about the transition that he made from the whitetail hunting into becoming an elk hunter and a very successful elk hunter at that. So look forward to that show. That'll be coming out October 1st. And thank you again to Sportsman's Nation for having us on the network. Really appreciate it. I really enjoy being on Sportsman's Nation Network. There's a lot of good content out there, so make sure you get over there and check out all of them that are out there. There's four big game shows, and then there's also four whitetail shows, and tons of good information on everything that Sportsman's Nation puts out. So thanks again, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed that show, and definitely look forward to the next one coming out. Thanks.